This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us. Welcome to episode number 106 of TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. I'm your host, Rob Tiansen. Welcome to our post-Atlanta, pre-Las Vegas edition of the world's fastest hour of racing talk. And on this edition of our show, I'm joined alongside Brooklyn Jackson, assistant editor and staff writer of the Podium Finish. And we've got an old friend from the Podium Finish who is now around with Front Row Motorsports. That would be Nicholas Weatherby. He's also going to be our guest for the show. So it's an exciting show, nevertheless, because we've got writers and an actual designer on the show. So if you like writing and doing kinds of graphic design work and paint schemes, this is your show. If you don't like, if you hate numbers, this is even better. We don't talk about numbers on the show. So sorry, math nerds, we're not going to do that. Nathan Solomon, of course, is off this week. He is in a certain state called Florida, and he's hanging out with some old people. So we're not going to disturb him this week. We'll let him get some suntan on, and hopefully he'll post his podcast as early as possible after I just trashed him. So anyways, folks, it's going to be a great show, and there's a certain finish that took place on Sunday night that we're probably going to be talking about. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's called the Three-Way Thriller at Atlanta Motor Speedway. So if you don't know what we're talking about, we greatly suggest that you catch the highlights on YouTube or read our recap on thepodiumfinish.net and then listen to the podcast, because you missed out on a ton from the 1.54-mile racetrack. And we're now going to get ready for the two-week West Coast swing. So much going on as we end the month of February and get into the month of March, finally. But allergy season for folks like me in Texas is going to be kicking off. So enjoy this last episode of me sounding normal, because the next couple of weeks, I may sound like Rick Regis Philbin. So I might ask people if that's their final answer. But before I kind of make any obscure game show references, let's go hear from Brooklyn and from Nick. How are y'all doing today on this episode?
I'm good. I am still in awe and speechless over the Atlanta finish, the Atlanta Cup finish. I think all three Atlanta races were amazing, but I'm super excited to talk about the Cup finish.
Absolutely. I think that's the one that we're all still buzzing about, to say the least. And the Xfinity finish was crazy as well, with all the gas mileage shenanigans that were going on. And then for the truck race, I mean, I know a certain driver won that race, but the fact that he was able to do it in such manner makes it very special. So we're buzzing off of week two for sure. And Nick, I know for you guys over at Front Row Motorsports, it was so close with Todd Gilliland until the late stages of the race, but I'm sure you were excited to see car 38 having a good run on Sunday.
Yeah, it was nice seeing Todd up front. It was his career day. Led the most laps, if I'm remembering correctly, of his entire career, the most laps. And man, he was battling against, you know, Penske and all the other top four teams. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Also seeing McDowell out there as well, putting on a good show, having our two front row cars on the front row. That's pretty cool.
It's a great day, a great weekend for the Statesville, North Carolina team. And, you know, just to see Michael McDowell back up what he did at Daytona with front row qualifying, and then having an amazing run at Atlanta and overcoming that accident halfway into the race and still getting a top 10. That's a testament to the men and women over at Front Row Motorsports. And Todd Gilliland, like you said, he looked phenomenal, leading for six occasions for a total of 58 laps. I mean, that's crazy stuff, to say the least. And we're going to definitely dive deeply into that really shortly. And it could have been a day, but hey, you never know. I mean, based off of the runs they've had the first two races, now we're going to a real racetrack in Las Vegas. It's a good test, but with that partnership with Team Penske, oh man, it's going to be something to watch those dark horses against the Camrys and the Camaros this weekend. So winning time later on this show and Podium Perspectives is going to get real for sure. But as you know, folks, we are powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. And if you didn't catch the good news, folks, they've opened up their first retail location in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So congratulations to Evan and his team on making that possible. So not only can you shop online and support our friends at spoilerdiecast.com, by the way, if you live in Indiana or you happen to be in the neighborhood, you can certainly stop by their retail front store and support a small business and support Friends of TPF, which we always like when you do so. Do it, if you do it online, of course, use that promo code TPF. But let's go hear why the past version of myself in 2023 wants you to shop on spoilerdiecast.com right now. Hey, racing fans, are you in the hunt for the latest and greatest in diecast cars? Head on over to spoilerdiecast.com to get the latest offerings in Lionel Racing, NASCAR collectibles, IndyCar collectibles from Relay Collectibles, and much more. If you spend $20 or more in-stock or pre-order items, you can save 5% off your order and get free shipping with promo code TPF. So head on over to spoilerdiecast.com, spend $20 or more, and use promo code TPF to get free shipping and 5% off your order. Evan and his team get those orders out fast in lightning speed fashion. A proud sponsor of TPF Live. Yes, folks, use that promo code TPF to get 5% off and free shipping on orders of $20 or more. I'm telling you, folks, it's a good time to get some orders lined up with SpoilerDiecast.com. There's a bunch of new cars that have come from China with Lionel Racing, and the 2024 season's fully underway. So, yes, a lot of Chevrolets are on the way. Eventually, those Fords are going to make their way to the U.S., I would say, around midsummer. So just hang tight, put those pre-orders in, and by the time you put those pre-orders in, and you use that promo code TPF, when it's summertime and the mercury's high, you're going to be looking at those dark horses and thanking us for saving some money. So promo code TPF for spoilerdiecast.com to get free shipping and 5% off orders of $20 or more. And again, if you want to go to their retail front store, their address is 6004 Highview Drive, Suite E in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 468108. Again, 6004 Highview Drive, Suite E, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 468108. If you come out during this opening week, you can get a signed Parker Klugerman hero card and be entered to win a $100 gift card. Not bad. So do it up, folks. And their hours are from 11 to 5. So there's no excuses, folks. When you're on lunch break or you work from home, silently go over there. I'm not trying to get you in trouble, folks. I'm just saying. Help them out, and they're really awesome, to say the least. Well, I know you folks are ready to hear from Nick and Brooklyn and me, so why don't we do it, folks? Let's get over to Podium Perspectives right now, powered by our friends at SpoilerDiecast.com. And like I said, folks, yes, there was a little finish on Sunday night called the three-wide thriller, the last lap thriller at Atlanta. However you want to call it, it was something to watch, something to behold. And in fact, that victory by Daniel Suarez was the number 10 play of the week on ESPN SportsCenter. So that goes to show how huge NASCAR is. Yes, Brooklyn's clapping in the background in this room. So yes, awesome, awesome job for NASCAR. The three-wide thriller delivered the third closest finish in NASCAR Cup Series history since the advent of electronic scoring in 1993. Yes, folks, I know that. I remember that. That means it was just behind the finish in Darlington, you know, the one where Mike Joyce said, "Have you ever," with Ricky Craven edging out Kurt Busch by 0.002 seconds, and also ties with the Jimmy Johnson victory at Talladega in 2011, the Aaron's 499, I believe, of that year, which was, I think, my first race I caught when I moved back to the U.S. So just to set up what happened in that 260-lap race, we had a red flag period that took place because of a turn four accident involving Josh Berry, Chase Elliott, and Carson Hocevar, which led to a red flag, which Luis Torres was happy about. And I don't know why he has a sadistic pleasure in red flags. I seriously think he needs to get into the habit of loving green flag finishes and green flag periods. So Luis, get your get your stuff together, friend. But anyways, once we got past the red flag period, we had a crazy six lap dash to the finish. I mean, it looked like Daniel Suarez was going to win it anyways, but then Ryan Blaney was so sneaky with that number 12 car, the defending cup champion again, using some of his super speedway drafting techniques to take the lead. And sure enough, it looked like he had it in the bag. But then Kyle Busch was kind of lurking in the background. He was thinking, I'm going to get these American kid guys and girls their free chicken tenders on Monday night. And then Daniel Suarez is thinking, you know what? I'm sick and tired of losing 56 races in a row. I am a NASCAR driver. I don't just win on road courses. So sure enough, they get into turn three. We see these guys going three wide on a track that I barely thought can go four wide. And they held it together like the blue angels in the sky. We didn't see any crazy accident, thank goodness. And Josh White and Ricky Martinez were in the perfect positions to get those photos, and they did. We saw that three wide finish, and for a while, people thought Ryan Blaney won. Clint Bowyer even said as much. Kevin Harvick, if you saw that tweet from Fox Sports, he was so nervous, he was hugging Clint Bowyer about what was going on. And then NASCAR scoring said, nope, it was Daniel Suarez by 0.003 seconds. That's the kind of stuff in iRacing that you could have happen, but when it does happen, you don't know if you won until the score shows in that dashboard. Amazing stuff. I mean, we're so lucky to have something to talk about this early in the season when most of the time we're talking about controversial takes, someone's got a better car than me, blah, 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 this and blah, 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 that. But that was amazing. It was awesome. So I want to hear from Brooklyn and then hear from Nick about this. So what was your take on Daniel Suarez's historic second victory of the year, which, by the way, happened, I think, a day after before Davey Allison's birthday?
Oh, I didn't. Oh, I had forgotten that.
Yeah.
But yes. So it was, like I said a second ago, it was crazy. I think I, along with the rest of America who was watching, I was speechless. I like most, I think most people thought Blaney had it won at first because my first reaction was like, oh my, like Blaney won. But then they started replaying it, and that's when I think we all kind of started going, like you heard in the booth live, like they were like, oh wait, like who really did win? Like we seriously need to go to, like this was the definition of a photo finish. Like you think you're, at first you were like, oh Blaney had it, but then Suarez got it in the bag. And this was, I mean, this was such a great race. I mean, this is how racing should be done.
What about you,
Yeah,
Nick? What did you think?
I actually got up from a chair and I was screaming because never seen a race finish that close in my life.
I was in front of my TV too. I
I've never in my entire life of watching NASCAR I've seen a race finish that close. At least like. Being as into NASCAR as I am now, I've never seen a race finish that close ever. So it took me by absolute surprise. But overall, the entire race was fun to watch. I like that the track is degrading down more that we go to it every year, and it's requiring, I think it's soon going to require a different package because of how much the drivers are having to let off going into three and four and one and two. So I. Maybe next year we'll have one more plate race, I think. But that was unreal. I hope to see it again.
And I'm sure if you see it again, you hope it's either car 34 or 38 that gets
Yeah.
to be there. Because they, oh man, they were up at the front of the field. I mean, Michael McDowell, he was so impressive, I thought. Even before we got to stage three in the finish, I mean, he was the first driver to say, hey, I had to start towards midfield when everyone else stayed out. And I pitted with Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch. I know, by the way, I could restart 18th and I can get myself to the top 10 in like 15 laps, no problem. And he hung in there, and I thought it was so impressive that he was able to overcome that accident that he had in the turn three apron wall, you know, the one that is the pit road, which I still don't like that pit road arrangement. I think it's silly, but that's my take. But
yeah,
nevertheless, you know, he was like a dog, you know, dogs run into the fences all the time. And that Betty Bone Ford didn't know how to break. It was a little scratched up, but like a dog, it hustled to the front and was like ready to keep going. If they had a few more laps, who knows? Maybe he would have won the race. So,
he had the zoomies.
Yes, he had the zoomies. Yeah. I've seen it in person with my dog. And so, yeah, I felt like that's what Michael Dell's car was. It's a good dog. Its snout may have run into the fence and it's okay. You know, a cat may be freaking out, but a dog, no, they're tough as nails. So what a great race for sure. And just to bring home the point about this race, let me be clear that I'm one of those old farts who likes intermediate racing, like we'll see at Las Vegas. I freak out about drafting style races. Genuinely, I get stressed, I get heartburn, and I get anxiety. I know journalists are not supposed to feel that way, but I do because I know folks in the industry. I know some of these drivers pretty well now, and I freak out that something could happen, but everything was okay. I know we had 10 caution periods for 65 laps, but here's the pluses, right? We had 48 lead changes among 14 different drivers. So that's what, to test to Nick's point, the asphalt has degraded quite a bit in the last 2 years. I mean, I we'll probably have a clip of this on YouTube so you can see what I'm talking about. But this photo from Ricky Martinez, you can clearly see that this is not a blacktop anymore. This looks like the average road that you probably see in North Carolina or here in Texas, probably. Handling became a factor for sure. Like, you just had to really wrestle and manhandle the car as best as possible. I remember Kyle Larson, I think after stage one, he was like saying he had no grip with the front end. And then Cliff Daniels is like, well, I had got no choice. You pretty much have to live with it, Kyle. And Kyle just, he did, he adapted and he had a chance to win the race until he got caught up in a late crash. It was not his fault, but that's just how it goes sometimes in drafting races. You know, Corey LaJoy somehow eked out a 13th, which is crazy. Kaz Grala, who spun in front of the field and gave everybody, you know, like light flashing before their eyes moments, he finished 14th. This is the kind of craziness we had in our race. I mean, Harrison Burton was involved in the lap two crash, folks, somehow got a top 11. Bubba Wallace, his nose is all bloodied up, and he got a fifth place finish. You just have to see the highlights. You got to read the recap of the race to understand how exciting this race was and why we're buzzing about it. And by the way, we're going to a pretty awesome track in Las Vegas, which may not be drafting style, but you'll see what we're talking about if you tune in on Sunday. So, and Saturday and Friday, of course. So let's not forget our support series friends, of course, because we're going to talk about that right now. The Xfinity series. Oh my goodness, everybody was dropping like flies at the finish of that race. I was saying in the chat room with the friend, like our friends, I was like, I think Parker Kligerman's got this in the bag, folks. And then he ran out of gas. And then so many other people ran out of gas. And I was just like, oh no, Jesse Love ran out of gas. Like, I didn't even know if we're gonna have anybody making it to the finish. And that was just a wild race altogether. Like, we knew RCR had their act for sure on this drafting stuff. Austin Hill's won this race, I think, for the last 2 years, which at this point, he's going to have to give up the title, but I guess he's being a little greedy and trying to just rack up all the playoff points. And it's not a surprise that he won the race. It's the manner of how he won the race that makes it a little bit surprising. So again, because we're gentlemen, Nick, we'll hear from Brooklyn first, ladies first, and then we dudes chime in afterwards. Brooklyn, what did you think about Saturday's race, the Raptor King of Tough 250? And do you think Austin Hill can be stopped at this point?
He is the definition of someone you don't want to see in your rearview mirror at a plate track. I like you said, it's not obviously not surprising that he won. It's just the domination that he had that paired with like who ran out of gas and got involved in accidents that just kind of awed you for the Xfinity race. I think somebody will beat him. I can't say when or who, but I mean it's gonna happen eventually.
Yeah, I'm that man's been dominating too many super speedways for me. It's an awesome achievement what he's accomplishing, but man, I want to see someone new win the race. But yeah, no, it was a pretty good race. I don't know what like the strategy was for those guys at the end. I don't think they were expecting a caution, and that's what messed them all up. And then there's another like what 6 laps of under caution, I think it was. And like they all ran out of fuel right when they went to green. Sam Mayer actually ran out of fuel on the apron, and like or no, was it Allgaier? Oh my
Allgaier, I
God.
think it
It was
was.
Allgaier. Allgaier ran out of fuel on the apron. He was trying to make it a pit road. And like it was just a big jumbled mess. I knew something was gonna go wrong on the restart, and Austin Hill took full advantage of it. I gotta give him major credit for that. I was Hill on the same strategy as Love? I can't.
Yeah, I think he kind of was, but I think he with Hill's experience, he kind of knows just how to conserve a little more, I suppose.
Yeah, I figured because he was right there when they went back to green. And so and actually I think on the I think on during the broadcast they showed like how many laps they went without pitting. And he was up there with them one of the most laps. So yeah, he's a veteran. He's a veteran now in the Xfinity series, and Love is, the rookie, which I gotta give Love a ton of credit. Two poles. And his first two starts for Xfinity, that's nuts. I don't know when the last time that was done. That's also another historical thing that's happened. Yeah, I like the race personally. I liked it.
It was great and may not have had as many lead changes as as the Cup race did. There was only 11 lead changes among five different drivers, but you kind of have to blame it on the RCR boys for hogging it up. With Jesse Love really making a good case of getting his first career win. I mean, I actually thought the kid was going to get it done. He led 6 times for 157 laps, which is in insane. And he did implement what he said he was going to do after he won the pole on Friday. He was like, "Look, I know I was a little aggressive in stage two in Daytona, and that's what got me into that crash in the backstretch. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to be a little bit more patient. If we have to sacrifice position in stage two, I'll just methodically get myself to the front." He didn't have to worry about that because he won stage two as well. It's not like it fell upon his lap. He just was really good with driving that car. And oddly enough, I have to say this about the Xfinity race compared to the truck and the Cup race. The Xfinity drivers are a little bit more behaved than the Cup drivers, which that's saying a lot. I don't know why. It's because the Xfinity series has a bunch of young drivers now, too. I mean, and rookies, too. We got Shane Van Gisbergen from, obviously V8 Supercars. He is learning what it means to be a NASCAR driver on the ovals, and yet he got a third place finish. Parker Retzlaff is overachieving in that Jordan Anderson car. I mean, he got a top five at Daytona. He does it again at Atlanta. Jeremy Clements is another one. I mean, they're just having a ball. Anthony Alfredo's looking good. I mean, Jeffrey Earnhardt in his first start of the season, he's making a case for Sam Hunt Racing to think about having him on a little bit more for the season. Ryan Truex, unfortunately, he's not going to race this weekend, but hey, he looked really good for Joe Gibbs Racing. I mean, there's just a lot of talent in this division that really impresses me. And then they're not just necessarily the household names and not your, AJ Allmendinger or Parker Kligerman or a Justin Allgaier or John Hunter Nemechek. These are actually real bona fide good drivers who are in this division. And I've got to say this about the Xfinity series. If you are just solely a Cup fan, you've got to watch what goes on Saturday and sometimes on Friday when the truck race is going on. It's incredible to see what goes on in this division because if you wanted to know what the Cup Series was like before they went to the next-gen cars, that series depicts it all in terms of the engineering, the speed, the sounds, the pit stop styles, the five lug nuts versus the center bolt that we have in the Cup Series. Everything about the Xfinity series is perfect. So it's to great, great division. I have bad news to share, though, about it. Austin Hill is the defending race winner for Saturday's Xfinity race in Las Vegas. So there is the possibility that this man could win three in a row, and you could probably make it so that my argument for saying it's a good series gets flushed down the toilet. But that's why we're going to race on Saturday afternoon for the Leuna Xfinity Series race, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. That's going to be a mouthful for me to say. I'm usually used to saying a distance, but it's a sponsor. It sounds like one of those Fox generic races from 2001 where we couldn't say the sponsor's name. So it's not a mistake, folks. I'm actually saying the name of the race, the Leuna NASCAR Xfinity Series. That's it. That's all I got to say. It's weird. It's really weird. Now, let's talk about penalties. Oh, fun penalties. So, of course, if you caught what happened this weekend, or past weekend, rather, NASCAR dropped the hammer on Stewart Haas Racing with L1 penalties levied against the number 10 team of Noah Gregson and the number 41 team of Ryan Preece. I will read what this is, and I'll try my best to explain it as if you're 5 years old. So, it's a violation of the NASCAR rulebook, section 14.5.6.1, section, and it's like letters A, B, and C, roof air deflectors. Both teams were assessed with the loss of 35 driver points and owner points. What does that mean? Well, it means that they kind of were trying to get an aerodynamic advantage. And NASCAR was like, we ain't going to go with that. You guys got to deal with the parts as they may. You can't screw around with that. And we saw that you're being creative. Good job, but not good job. We're going to nip that in the bud, just like what happened to Hendrick last year with the hood louvers that I hope we don't have to talk about again. That was a ridiculous situation, to say the least. They weren't the only ones on the hook, because Joey Logano on Sunday, he was sent to the rear of the field after he qualified in second, because he violated safety sections 14.3.1.1, A, B, and F, driver responsibilities and driver protective clothing, equipment for driver. He was fined $10,000, which sounds like a lot, but for Joey Logano, it's more like getting the Happy Meal at McDonald's. So he's okay, folks. No, you don't have to donate to his GoFundMe or anything. He will be all right. But basically, NASCAR was not cool about that. They may have caught the footage of it when they were qualifying, because you know, folks, when drivers qualify at the super speedways or drafting saddle tracks, they often drive with one hand on the steering wheel and the other hand out the window to kind of block off the air going into the window net, as if the window's closed off and you gain a little bit. Everybody looks for a bit of an advantage at these racetracks, but NASCAR was like, yeah, nice try, bro. Nope. $10,000 fine. Give that to the NASCAR Foundation. So this time we'll start with Nick and then hear from Brooklyn. What are your thoughts on these penalties? You know, is it kind of crazy to see these happen so early in the year?
As the saying goes, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I mean, everyone on the track is trying to look for an advantage. And I find Joey's the most interesting and unique, because it's with his glove and they webbed between the finger and the thumb. And aerodynamically, yes, it was an advantage. It would, you know, allow less air to get into the car. I didn't really look too much into Mr. Haas' penalties, but I do know it is on the roof, you know, deflectors for the air. I kind of hope NASCAR shows what they manipulated on them, like they did last year with a few of the penalties, just to see what they messed around with. But I'm kind of surprised that we're getting so many penalties this early in the season. I would be expecting it later in the season when playoffs are getting closer, not immediately. But I guess I do understand why they're doing it so soon, so they're caught earlier before later and then losing all those important points that they got. I guess they, you know, still have time to get those points back.
First of all, Rob, I'm going to show this to your explanation to my kindergartners tomorrow morning at carpet time and see if it actually passes the test. Second of all, I agree. I would be surprised by the penalties this early in the season, but I feel like the past couple years, they've almost been trying to set an example early on. Like, okay, we see you. We're not going to tolerate this. Obviously, last year with the Hendrick penalties you mentioned, but I definitely, you know, the Stuart Haas penalties are ones you kind of almost expect. I mean, your standard, like, everybody in the garage is pushing the limits, right? They're trying to see how much they can get away with. But the Joey Logano one, I was, like you, Nick, I thought that was the most interesting. I was like, this man really brought Spider-Man gloves to the track. I was like, they really get more creative each week. I was like, what will they think of next? Like, who's going to think of something interesting next? I'm just waiting patiently with popcorn. I mean, I love it. This is the stuff that, I mean, the on-track racing is obviously super interesting. But, I mean, this is almost the stuff that makes it, like, a reality show. Like, I saw something that said, like, you think racing is boring until you learn about it, and then every week is an episode of Survivor.
Pretty much.
It really is. It really is. I mean, to put it in an academic vernacular, now I know your kindergartners don't do tests or worry about SATs just yet. I guess this is more like, you know, when you're in high school, you may know some friends who are like, hey, what's the answer to that question? Hey, what's going on here? And that's kind of what was going on. I mean, Nick's right. If you ain't cheating, you're not trying. And that's just how it's going to be in racing. People are going to push the limits. You have to. I mean, if you don't try to exploit an advantage, you're not going to win. If you play fair, you know, you're just not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, the pushing the limits is what makes you good. I mean, you have to.
Because if you don't push the limits, you might as well be the Mr. Nice Guy. And if you're Mr. Nice Guy, well, sorry to say, you're just nothing good's going to happen to you. I hate to be cruel, but that's just how it is. That's why there's an old saying, nice people finish last. I'm not saying that the people who win races are jerks. So sorry, Austin Dillon. Sorry, Kyle Busch and Daniel Suarez. I'm not trying to get you guys not to come on TPF Live, but let's be real. I mean, you have to be ruthless. Yeah, and NASCAR obviously won't take too kindly when you're just like, the rules here. Of course, they're gonna have to say what they have to say, but at the end of the day, they're not gonna be the only manufacturers who do this. We saw this happen to Toyota at Pocono in July 2022 with their noses. Okay, so everybody gets their chance to do something silly that if you're a fan of Chevrolet, like if you don't like the Fords and you're a Chevrolet or Toyota fan, you can't be like, ha, 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 ha. We're never going to get caught because just wait till we get to like New Hampshire or something. Your team might get screwed over by the almighty powers of NASCAR when they go through the inspection process. So it's unfortunate what happened to SHR, man. The hits keep on coming for them on the Cup side, but eventually you have to think some good things will happen. And as for Joey Logano, like I said, he's going to be okay. I know he's having a rough start to the year, but we don't define the champion after race two. We start to get concerned when we get to, say, Nashville. And if he's still finishing this badly, folks, then maybe we'll worry. But this is a new NASCAR. This is not Nick's dad's NASCAR or my NASCAR from the 90s, okay? Like, if you have a bad start to the year, all you got to do is finish in the, just, you know, win a race, do enough, and you're in, okay? So, you know, I'd love to say being consistent all the time is good, but that's just not how it is, man. You just got to be opportunistic in this world of NASCAR. You may get screwed now, but you might be sitting pretty in November at Avondale, Arizona. Well, let's actually talk about Hendrick Motorsports now for a second. I wasn't trying to segue that about the lovers or anything. That's a really bad transition, by the way, by me, but good. Good enough as it is. Now, earlier this week, we learned that the Hendrick number 17 car is back this season. And surprisingly, folks, that car has yet to win since its return to the Xfinity series. I know, shocking because of the talent that they have at that team. But we know for a fact that they're going to be kicking off with that car once more, with all four Hendrick drivers getting some kind of opportunity in its schedule this year. Why did they pick 17, by the way, folks? A little fun fact, that was the car number not only for Darrell Waltrip when he drove for them from 19, I want to say 1987 to 1990, but it was also Ricky Hendrick's truck number in 2001. So that's why they run that car number in the Xfinity series. But anyways, folks, we know that that car comes back next weekend at Phoenix. It'll be piloted by William Byron. Then at my race in 2 weeks, oh, well, actually, basically less than a month from now, when I'm at COTA, Kyle Larson's in that car. Then you don't get to see it again until May 11th during Throwback Weekend at Darlington. Byron's behind the wheel of that again. Then, yes, the people's favorite Chase Elliott will be in that car for the 300 at Charlotte. So I'm sure you fans better show up and support your boy. And then on June 8th, yes, I will say that Boris Said is coming back. Can't wait to see what he does at Sonoma. So all you Said heads, grow your hair out and go crazy. And then on June 22, Alex Bowman will be making some New Englanders happy and talking about chowder. And lobsters, and maybe parking his cod hobbit yacht, New Hampshire. By the way, people in New Hampshire don't talk that way, folks. So please, New Hampshire Motor Speedway people, don't market yourselves that way. You guys have your own accents, which is a mess of its own. And then Kyle Larson pilots that car in Chicago, followed by Byron at Pocono, Chase Elliott during Darlington again. And then we end the season for that car at Watkins Glen with William Byron. I shouldn't say ends the car ends that car's run, because you never know, we might see Roger Carruth behind the wheel of that car down the road. So yeah, so much going on. We'll start off with Nick again and then for Brooklyn. What do you think of seeing this car back in the Xfinity series? This is bad news for those teams who are praying to win a race, and now they're thinking, oh crap, here's Hendrick again.
I think some teams are probably a little bit nervous now for those specific races, but I'm happy they brought back Boris Said, because during I think it was at the Roval when he was doing his start, the car broke and he couldn't qualify. So I'm happy Hendrick called him up again. He's like, "Hey, we'll give you another shot, and this time it'll be a fixed car." So it's nice to see Boris Said again. He's always been a favorite of mine personally. Great attitude. But I think the other Xfinity teams are going to be kind of worried, because the amount of talent that is going to be in that car for all those races. They're all veterans in the Cup Series going to the Xfinity Series. I think we've seen it many times. That car's had issues during races. It's gotten caught up in stuff and accidents. So I mean, it's gonna be pretty much who's in the car and what track it's at. Because most of the time when I think most of the time when Cup teams put their drivers in Xfinity cars, it's at tracks that that the drivers think they need work on. So we'll see what happens. I think the 17 will be a contender. I just hope they don't win all the races that they're in.
That's a fair assessment to say the least. And you've brought up a good point that I'm sure Brooklyn will touch upon. That car's run into issues each time that someone's been behind the wheel. I mean, Kyle Larson made a self-inflicted boo-boo at Sonoma. I think he hit the tire barrier in turn 11, which was like, oh, broke the steering, and he had to finish third when he could have won that race so easily. So they sometimes screwed the pooch in that car. So maybe they will learn from that. But like you said, I think there are other teams that are like, please just keep doing the same things and disappoint yourselves, say the least. What do you
Yeah.
think, Brooklyn?
The 17 card definitely seems cursed. But the saying is, even a blind squirrel gets a nut every now and then. Y'all, these are far from blind squirrels. These are some of the most talented. These are five of the best squirrels in the NASCAR garage. That's maybe not. I mean, comparing the Hendrick driver to squirrels. Okay, maybe my kindergarten teacher brain is still on, but these are some very talented drivers. All five of them can win. I have no doubt that the Xfinity series will be taking notes of every race they're at and watching.
I think these flying squirrels better be watching for the trees before they think about winning races.
they need to uncurse the car first before they can fly themselves to victory lane. But I'm forever going to call them squirrels now.
I am going to have a hard time trying to talk to Kyle Larson at Austin next month and not imagine that he's a squirrel. So, John Edwards, please forgive me if I'm going to crack up during a really good-hearted question for Kyle. And I'm like, he's a flying squirrel. Look at him.
It's just the TPF resident kindergarten teacher making an analogy.
There you go. Yeah, there's my excuse. Well, I'm just sympathizing with the audience, okay? Don't think I'm a lunatic that has a crazy imagination because I do. I have a crazy imagination. I'm not a lunatic. I have a crazy imagination. I can hear all the MGK fans hitting at me right now and I'm sure that girl on YouTube is probably looking to sharpen her knives and find out where I live. I still don't like MGK, okay? And I know he's married to Megan Fox, so lay off. Okay, that had nothing to do with Hendrick number 17. So let's move on to winning time before I get ourselves in hot water with whatever record label he's with. So, you know, folks, in winning time, this is when we get to make our picks for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, the NASCAR Truck Series, and the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series on who we think is going to win. Do we have to give a reason? That would be nice. Doesn't mean we're going to, but we'll try our best. So, of course, we'll start off in the order of the chronological order for the races. So we know that on Friday night, we've got the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Victoria's Voice 200. Yes, folks. Yes, folks, Kyle Busch won that race. He's the defending race winner. And he's in that race again. Then on Saturday, we have the NASCAR Xfinity Series Leuna race, or the Leuna NASCAR Xfinity Series race. See, I screwed it up already. Good times. And like I said, Austin Hill's the winner of that race. So we'll state our case on that in a moment. And then on Sunday, the NASCAR Cup Series Pennzoil 400. Defending winner is William Byron. And yes, you Chase Elliott fans are probably hoping that your boy wins because it would be nice. But also for you nerds, that means that would mean all four Hendrick drivers currently on the roster will have won the Spring Cup race. I didn't bring numbers, I brought trends. But right now, ladies first, then us boys. So Brooklyn, you get to take the lead. You tell us who you think is going to win this weekend.
I would just like to first acknowledge how solid my picks were for last week.
Yes.
My worst one was in Xfinity, and he finished 11th. I think that's a pretty solid day. Pretty solid day.
We're not worthy. Right.
And you're bowing down, as you should.
I am.
All right. This week, for trucks, it's time. Corey Heim is going to victory lane. Xfinity. I said I couldn't say when or who was going to dethrone Austin Hill. I'm saying it's not going to happen this week. Austin Hill is going back to victory lane. Cup Series. This is a bit of a shakeup, okay? I think that... See, and I'm having... I mean, there are just several people that could win this. But I'm saying that... Remind me who won this last year.
William, you talk about the Xfinity race or Cup race?
Cup. I said Austin Hill was going for Xfinity.
That's
William
right.
Byron, right? Okay.
William Byron won. Okay. Yes.
All right, so Byron won it last year. I'm saying... that his teammate, Chase Elliott, is going to go to victory lane this week.
You are in the camp of all four Hendrick drivers winning this spring race, but you gave a good reason, which is fair. It's fair. So I like that. And I was about to say, I'm a guy. I just preed them a guy, folks. I didn't listen to Brooklyn. I did listen, but I didn't listen to what pick she made before the cup pick. And I said, are you talking about Xfinity? Oh, man. It's in my DNA. I am a dude. But great picks. So to summarize, she thinks it's time for the trucks. She's going to go with Austin Hill, and she's going to go with Chase Elliott. So it's almost a Chevrolet sweep, except for Heim ruining it with Toyota. So I think she might get it. But what do you think, Nick? Give us your best shot.
Oh, man. man, I really think Lane is going to pull up this week. Lane Riggs.
Mr. Riggs.
Yep. After being knocked down twice, I think he's going to come back stronger for this week. So that's my truck pick. I'm going with my buddy Lane Riggs. My second pick for Xfinity. Who? Something inside me is saying it's Austin Hill who's going to win it, and I really don't want to pick him because I want to see someone else win. So I'm going to go with Allgaier.
Okay.
Justin Allgaier. And now for my final pick for Cup. So I'm going to say it's going to be like a surprise win. I'm going to say it's going to be Reddick out of nowhere.
Mr. Reddick, it's going to be – that's a really good pick. I like that because at some point the Toyotas are going to have to break the Hendrick stranglehold. At Las Vegas and Chevrolet stranglehold as a whole with winning cup races this year. In fact, I think Chevrolet's won three of the last four cup races since last year, which is crazy, but we'll see. That redesigned Camry, I mean, it's giving me Pontiac Grand Prix vibes, to say the least, from the mid-90s. I like those picks. Really good ones. I'm going to try to follow up with both of y'all's great picks. I like the Lane Riggs one. I like, you know, seeing someone else win in the Xfinity Series. And then, of course, in the Cup Series with Tyler Reddick and that nasty beast car, which sounds kind of weird when I say nasty beast. I feel like I got to take a shower after I say that. So maybe I'll refrain from saying the sponsor. Him and his nasty beast car. Ugh. 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 Anyways, let's pick my picks. So, for the truck race, I am going to go with actually Christopher Bell in that number one truck for Tricon Garage. Because let's not forget, he's making a special appearance this Friday night. So, I think Mr. Bell is going to ring his bell to victory lane. Yes, Mike Joy made a pick, made a joke right there. For Saturday's race, I'm kind of going to still go with a theme here. I am going to go with a Toyota for the race. My gut feeling says it's going to be, oh man, I hope I don't regret this pick. I'm going to say Sheldon Creed because Sheldon's been pretty consistent so far this year. I found it ironic that, you know, he finished second at Daytona, which to the guy that, you know, they had beef with at Martinsville last fall. And oh, by the way, he had a pretty good finish at Atlanta. He got fourth place in that number 18 car. So I think he's going to make his case to finally win his first Xfinity Series race, and Austin Hill will be like, all right, son, you got your first win. Catch up with me and get another win next week at Phoenix. As far as the cup race is concerned, trying to be as unbiased as possible, this is a tough one because, honestly, you really can't bet against a Chevrolet. I mean, I'd love to say Front Row Motorsports because you're here. Why not? I think your guys are going to have a pretty good finish. I say top 15 at worst for both teams. But for this Sunday, I have to go with some experience. And I'm not saying number five, Kyle Larson, although that's a pretty obvious pick. So I'm going to stick with the Hendrick campus. And I'm not picking Chase Elliott. I think it's going to be one of those weird races where it comes down to a caution period and Alex Bowman's going to get the win. So he'll repeat 2022. That's how I'm going to see it happen. So Kyle Larson's going to probably dominate the race. Something silly will happen. They're going to be forced into a compromising position. And then Alex Bowman, just Alex Bowman's his way to victory lane. I think it was it Kyle Busch or Denny Hamlin in 2021 who said that Alex put backs into his victories? I forget which one it
Yeah,
was.
it's one of those two. I
One of them boys made that comment.
yeah.
And I don't see it being any less on Sunday. So we'll see. Well, I know one thing. Mr. H is probably telling Chase Elliott, please do not go to Vail, Colorado and don't snowboard. Please. No, going to the mountain. And Brooklyn's just turning pink right now. She's like, oh no, don't remind me of that. Oh, I'm sure he's trying not to go to the snowboarding stuff, but they're not gonna have an off weekend until the summer, so I don't think he'll have to worry about snowboarding anytime soon. But what do you folks think at home? Do you think that we've got our picks right? Do you think Brooklyn's gonna go 2 for 2 with her great picks? Will our guest co-host Nick be right on the money? Or will I finally get something right for a change on our picks? I have no clue. Don't listen to me about those picks, but why don't you hit us up on social media at the podium finish? And that's the same handle across all the board on X, Instagram, Facebook, even Threads. And if we ever get invited to the blue sky, we'll consider it. And if you happen to make the right picks for all three NASCAR races at Las Vegas, we will personally send you a diecast car in stock from spoilerdiecast.com in 1/64 scale. So pretty simple, folks. Get your picks tweeted over to us or send them our way. And if you happen to be a winner in all three races, we'll send you that diecast car. So, with that, we're not going into the hot seat necessarily. We're just going to stay in here during Podium Perspectives and get Nick's perspectives about what he does now in Front Row Motorsports, which is an awesome situation. I'll say this much. When I went on my Facebook and I saw the news on your feed, man, I was just like, that was a win for that team to get you over, because I've seen your designs. I remembered when you were a photographer with us. I think it was just right after COVID and everything was starting to get back to normal. Everybody was making their best TPF iRacing car, and you presented yours to me, and I was like, that looks so good. That should be a real car. And here you are. You're doing the real thing, man. So congrats, first of all. How did this opportunity come about for you?
Thank you very much. It's very thrilling to, be in this position. I can tell you exactly what happened. I was literally sitting right here, in my chair, looking at paint schemes from like 2019, 2020 for like all series, 'cause it's how I get ideas and for, concepts I want to do. And all of a sudden, I get a text from the creative director of Trackhouse Racing, Kyle Sykes. He's a good friend of mine. I've been talking to him for a year or two now, pretty much. I've had him give me some, tips on what to do better. And he messaged me on Instagram. He's like, "Weatherby, I have an opportunity for you. Are you interested?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm very interested." And Front Row Motorsports, we're looking for a graphic designer. And I, me being me, I was ecstatic. I went to my parents. I'm like, guys, I have an awesome opportunity. And I think at the time I was working with Rackley War for their social media stuff with their graphics. And I also have to give a shout out to Monty Bailey from Rackley War. Because I told him about the Front Row deal and whatnot, and thankfully Front Row were very kind to let me be remote. Because most teams now, they want you to be in-house and everything like that, but this team allowed me to be remote, and I'm so appreciative of that, because I've been able to do just as well at home than I could there. And I'm exceeding all their expectations. They're beyond thrilled to have me. But back on board with Monty Bailey, he gave me a good word to Front Row. And after he gave the good word, I got contacted. by the by Jeff Dennison from Front Row. And from there on out, I kept in close contact with him. I actually went down to the shop and I met the guys, got introduced, and from there it's history.
That's a wild, wild ride that you've been on, which is a great ride to say the least. And it just goes to show how the world of racing is so small, but yet, we're a family because we all look out after for each other. And Kyle is a great dude altogether. I mean, he's got a great situation at Trackhouse, but he's always looking out for those in that community. And I'm glad he was able to, hook you up with that situation and Rackley War too. I mean, that was awesome of them to even let you stay where you were. You didn't have to go down to where they were. And that's awesome, man. You earned it. And you've got these amazing designs that you've been racking up, recent times. And in fact, I get to finally say, I know somebody who designed a car that was in the Daytona 500, which will always bring chills in my hair with my hands, knowing that that's the case. How wild is that? I mean, Todd Gilliland's generator car was at the front of the Daytona 500. It's your baby, man. Like, what was that
Yeah.
like?
Oh man, before I go into that, I also got to give a big shout out to Ryan Daly. He took me under his wing. He mentored me for like a year. I was helping him with Spire stuff, rendering. Without him, I wouldn't know as much as I do now. I have absolute he We're close. He is my best friend. I appreciate everything that he's done for me. I hope to give back in some way in the future because I feel he really deserves it. Yeah, if he didn't, if I didn't become friends with him, I would not have gotten to meet the group I know today of all my friends. Ryan and Molly, they've been absolutely the best friends I could ever ask for. They've helped me through so much. But on top of the 500, it was awesome. It was so cool seeing my car qualifying by itself at night under the lights at Daytona, and then leading at Daytona, which I didn't think was gonna happen. I mean, I know Todd is an excellent racer, but I was not expecting him to be leading as much as he was. I'm still very sad about what happened with McDowell. He had an electrical issue and whatnot. But no, my heart was pumping so hard when he was up front leading the race, and I was getting messages like, "Dude, your car is leading the 500." I'm like, "Man, you guys are making me more anxious because, like, I'm so happy that people like the car. I tried to make it look as mean as possible on the new body because I feel like Generator's colors, which they are a great company. Mr. Rudabush is awesome. He complimented the design. He called it hot, and I really appreciate his enthusiasm about it. But it was thrilling. It was really thrilling. I feel so terrible for Kaz. Because Kaz, he got taken out 10 laps into the race. And he really worked hard to get to that point. And for it to just be taken in like a snap, it sucks. But I see him having another opportunity in the future with another cup team. Who knows? Maybe us. I don't know those details. But yeah, it absolutely thrilling. My blood pressure was so high, my face was so red. I was out in the living room just standing. I couldn't sit down, just watching the TV with my parents. It was awesome. It was so thrilling. I'm so excited to experience more of that feeling.
We hope you do, because that was such a great situation to see not only your design on the racetrack, but knowing that you reached your one of your dreams. And Your dream didn't just make it to the racetrack and qualify for the Great American Race. It led the Great American Race, and it took full advantage of every opportunity it had when it was on TV. And I got to say, one thing I loved about that car, Nick, it takes advantage of the Ford Mustang Dark Horse completely in terms of the design. I mean, everyone has different opinions on it, but for me, I love it. I love that it has like this really like kind of like look with its headlights. Okay, I'll say this. If Brooklyn called the Hendrick drivers the flying squirrels, I thought the Ford Mustang Dark Horse looks like a raccoon that's ready to go in on the attack on the racetrack. But your design's so cool because it has the chrome numbers, which all of us, when the next gen car came out and NASCAR got a little bit lenient about, the number colors and stuff, you were like, I'm gonna put a chrome number on it. And some people missed their mark on it, but no, man, you did the homework. You understood the assignment, as you kids would say. So walk me through, designing that car, and just in general, what's your basis on it? Because like Sam Bass, a great artist, he had his own kind of thinking with things. I'm curious how you go about it.
So if you actually look behind me, that's a fender of the generator car. And a lot of thought process, there's a lot of revisions. It originally it like the car's base always had that gradient going up the roof or up the hood and to the roof. That was always there, but the side design was not the same. That has changed like four times. And what the team wanted me to do is in where we have our secondary sponsors, they wanted me to keep the space open with just a solid color. Nothing, no multicolors going through that area, because then it can make it harder to see the secondary logo and just make it harder for that associate to be seen. So I pretty much have to think of like, how am I going to make our associates look as best as possible and as big as possible without being bigger? Like, it's kind of a weird way of saying that, but I think you know what I mean. Just making it stand out. And so that's what I've been doing for every scheme I've been asked to do for the team. Always have a solid color in that specific area. A lot of back and forth. There's a lot of back and forth between my senior in marketing, Angie. She's awesome. She's great to work with. A lot. Everyone I work with at Front Row is awesome. Absolutely a pleasure to work with. They're always so nice. They love my stuff, and I can't thank them enough. But it's just a lot of back and forth. I've had to learn a lot of different things for this. I know a lot of younger graphic designers who are getting into NASCAR. They think that when they get into the job, they're just gonna be doing cars. Yes, you will be doing cars, but you're gonna be doing pit equipment. You're gonna be doing the haulers, you're gonna be doing the pit crew helmets. You're gonna be doing like a whole bunch of stuff, like tiny little projects that are within the shop that are needed, and like j just a ton of other small things. And you might have to set up the car for print that you don't know how to do. You know what I mean? I had to learn so much, and we had to start from scratch. So just imagine that process with this new body. And like, man, when I first saw the Dark Horse in real life, I was amazed by how sharp that front fender is. I can't believe NASCAR actually allowed that, because it is so sharp when you see it in real life. And I got to touch it. It is sharp. It's a sharp fender, man. But the best thing is that with that sharp fender, it allows you to do so much more creatively, especially with the hood and everything like that. As you notice with a lot of the Fords now this year, we have the logos above the headlights.
Yes.
So we can all thank RFK for that. RFK's awesome designer, Aaron Burnett. He came up with that idea, and Ford actually made it an official sponsor location now. So that, like, that's why you see Penske with a big logo in the middle of the hood. That's an official sponsor location now. It's pretty much for more ROI for companies. That's why I know a lot of people are like, where's the big blue oval? And honestly, I like it without the big blue oval. Personally, I do. And I know a bunch of others that have worked on these cars do as well. Just allows a lot more for creativity, especially for bigger logos, which companies like. Bigger logo is a happier company and just more ROI, return of investment. There's just so much that goes into it. I feel like I'm rambling now. So I'll let you take back over.
No, that's
What?
great. Go ahead, Brooklyn.
Oh, I was just gonna ask what. So you talked about kind of what some of your like big project, like what you're working on. But what does your sort of everyday look like with your job?
Okay, so my every day is, well, luckily today has actually been pretty quiet. Today was pretty quiet. And it's usually not, trust me. Today I was working on our Vegas Race Week graphics for our social medias. And I also had to do some proposals, design proposals, because we're always going after new sponsors, whatnot. And sometimes I have to, I had to do a pit wall banner today, full size, have it ready for print. I sent that out. That's all set and ready to go. Today was actually a really quiet day. While it doesn't sound like it's a quiet day from what I just said, it definitely is, because at the beginning, before the season actually started, especially for Clash, that was insane. I was working a lot. I had to do so much stuff, get stuff print ready, the cars print ready. I had to get all of our pit equipment ready to go, which I'll admit, the pit equipment was probably one of the hardest things I've had to do, because I've never had to work with it. But now that I know, what we need, next year is going to be a lot easier. But like I said, we had to start from scratch. Because, new car, and everything like that. New. So I had to have a friend of mine, which his name is Turn 4 Graphics. He's really talented. I had him help us make a 3D template for the new Dark Horse, because we didn't have one. There's none available. And I had to have I paid him to make it, and I had to use it for like a month, like 3 months, and then we finally got the actual template from Pixel Source, who is Mark. Mark is also awesome. I talk to him sometimes. He made the full, like, actual 10% skill, template that we use, everyone uses now. And my life was so much easier then, because I don't think the template my friend made was actually to scale. So with a 10% scale template, all you gotta do is just move the decimal backwards, and then it's full scale. So luckily now everything's way easier to do now. But my day to day is pretty much wake up, get a coffee, look out for emails, and do whatever social graphics I gotta do. I'm sometimes texted by some of our marketing guys to do proposals for schemes, send them out, and I sometimes get calls. I sometimes talk to the drivers as well. But not really. Only when it's needed, because you don't want to bother them too much because they got better things to do. They're drivers, they got to drive the cars. So it's tough, especially for the beginning of the season before everything, really gets going. Because
Yeah, I can see for sure the beginning of the season would be very chaotic, where you're getting the hauler made, where you're doing the pit equipment for those guys. So I would imagine, I mean, and this is me not knowing like sort of like the intricacies of a team, but I would imagine that they had like several people doing this job, but it sounds like it's just you.
No, it's just me. I'm just one person here. It's just me doing all the cars, doing the hauler stuff. We do have a print team at the shop. And I send them the files, they print it out and they put it on. But yeah, it's just me over here. I'm just one person by myself doing all this stuff. I make the cars, pit equipment, like I said, everything. I done it. It's just me. I have no help. Ryan, I will say that I have had help from my friend Ryan, because I've had some stuff where I was like confused and stuck, didn't really know what they meant. No, he knew exactly what they meant and he helped me out, and now I know for the future what they mean, and now I can do it. That's the best part about having someone to carry you through the process, because when I did a scheme for my friend Brendan Poole, for the number 6 Mack Doors car, Ryan helped me through that process. And like all I knew as far as like getting stuff print ready is Pantone coloring all the design bits, having it print ready, and then sending it off, and they put it into the print template, and it there you go, goes on the car. Nope, here I gotta put it on the print template, have it print ready. Then I send it off, and then they wrap the car. So, yeah, it. I'm only a one person team here, but a lot of teams do have multiple designers. It does make life easier. Like I know at Trackhouse, it's Sykes and I think Santi Dominguez. Who Santi? He's been doing really cool stuff this year. Yeah. I'm only one person here. I
Yeah. That makes
nothing.
sense, I guess, that it kind of depends on the team. The Trackhouse cars have been cool.
Yes. Mr. Sykes and Santi have really upped the level. I definitely take a lot of inspiration from those guys. Yeah, I'm just thankful I met the right people to be brought into this awesome industry. And I don't know, what's just crazy to me is I wanted to be a photographer originally, and then I found my niche in making cars on iRacing, and that is where it all kind of took off for me personally, that I knew I wanted to do it. I originally was just doing it for myself. I ran a league. I ran a league on iRacing, and every week I would have a new scheme just to make things interesting. Well, the more schemes I did for that league, the better I got. And it kind of just escalated more and more, and then I realized, oh wow, people actually get paid to do this. So I started selling some schemes, and then I stopped doing that. And I just started doing concept designs and whatnot. I almost had some cars run, but obviously, you know how the world works sometimes. It's just a play. You don't really get anything going unless you meet the right people, and that's what I learned. Sometimes you'll get extremely lucky, and the company that you tagged, like Twitter, or now it's called X, but X. And they'll reach out to you and want to use your car. I know someone who had that happen. I think it was with Brandon Brown. in the number 68 Xfinity car. And after that, they had a few more on tracks. And, you know, it's just all about meeting the right people. That's how I got into here. I'm lucky I know the people I do. I didn't expect to get here after only doing this for 3 years. I've only been doing this for 3 years. I'm not like someone who's been doing it for 10. I'm only 20 years old and I'm doing this right now. I feel like that can be enough motivation for people to, you know, continue to work towards it with me being so young. I think it can have the younger generation of us painters, you know, want to go for it.
And that's the neat thing, is that we are in this amazing point in time, Nick, where, you know, obviously we're trying to figure out who's going to be the next batch of these great paint scheme designers or wrap designers, or I'll still call it paint schemes because that's what it really is. You don't personally wrap the cars, but, you know, for many, many years, you had Sam Bass. That's the first name people thought of mine right away. Kyle Sykes' name I've heard up a lot of. Now your name's among the group. You know, one thing I've always asked the drivers is, what is it like to see your own workspace be a diecast car? Well, now I'm going to be curious, because you're the guy who makes these paint schemes. What is it like to see that become, you know, this moving office space on the racetrack? And all of a sudden, you're probably a Target or Walmart with your girlfriend. And oh, by the way, that's your creation right there.
Yeah. speaking of diecasts, our Northside Hospital race truck just got put up for pre-order on Lionel. And I made that truck for Lane. And it is going to be produced. It's not going to have to be MOQ. It is being produced. Anyone could buy it and they'll get it eventually. No, it's really cool, you know, because in some way it's kind of immortalized in a way, as far as like in the industry, because, you know, like so many paint schemes from like the early like 2000s, there are die casts that are still can be found today. And I know some friends that got COT die casts and, you know, the early Gen 6 era die casts. Like, die casts are for people who really appreciate the artwork on the cars. And it's cool. It's cool seeing all. It's just cool seeing your artwork. I'm super excited to see the truck in its diecast form. But also, it's also pretty meaningful when the drivers themselves like it. And you don't really hear it often, you know, with drivers, but I noticed on the broadcast, Lane pretty much did an indirect shout out to me saying we got a sharp looking Ford F-150, and it's motivating. I took it to heart. It's motivating. And, you know, it reminds me I'm doing good work and I'm not being unoriginal or anything like that. Like, no, if the driver appreciates it, they'll let you know that they appreciate it. But yeah, no, it's cool. So, you know how I have that panel in the back of my room? Well, to my right, I have a whole Margaritaville quarter panel. An entire Margaritaville SC quarter panel that the team gave to me. It's just another thing that I also appreciate, is that how much the teams also care about their designers. Front Row, they've been treating me with absolute great respect. Very, very easy work, like easygoing people. I've enjoyed every moment of it. I'm so happy I can wake up and do this for a living. It's really cool. If anyone has this as a dream, go for it, because I did. For the past 3 years, I've been trying to go for it, and I finally succeeded. And for how I am, I kind of want to help others, reach it. Because it's hard to get to this point because it's such an oversaturated, industry, paint scheme designers, and it's not easy to get into it. You just got to meet the right people. Like, gosh, I swear I said that like 18 times. You got to meet the right people. It's really what it comes down to. You just have to meet those people, talk to them, get close with them, and then over time they'll recommend you to people. Like I was with Mr. Sykes. He recommended me to Front Row, and now it's just how it is today. It's really not much I can say, really, except that I'm just so appreciative. I can't believe I'm in this position.
Well, I think it's being in the right place and the right opportunity, but also because you're a really good kid, a really, really respectful, humble young man that earned every bit of success that you're enjoying right now. And I'm not trying to make a bold prediction when I say this is just the beginning of what you'll be experiencing in terms of a successful, long, prosperous career in NASCAR and motorsports as a whole, because good things happen to good people. Whether you're 20 or you're 40 or you're 50 or you're 32, things will happen if you just put your head down, you're humble, you're likable, and you show people, that you really are serious about putting in the hard work to be in this, which you've done over the years. I've seen that work ethic personally when you were a photographer, and I was not surprised that you had your chances to do this for these teams in NASCAR and, Front Row Motorsports, as I've said in the very top of the show, they're very lucky to have you around with such the great can-do attitude that you possess with us that you're showing them. And we're all so happy for you, man. When I told you share their good news, and I told them, by the way, that's your car. The generator car is your paint scheme. The Rudabush car, that's yours as well. I mean, we were all so stoked about that. And like you said, you want to pay it forward, and that's what Kyle Sykes has done, and that's the great thing that you're going to be doing is you'll probably do the same thing too. That's the crazy, right?
Like speaking of paying it forward, a friend of mine, well, I don't think it came to fruition though, but I definitely tried. A friend of mine was trying to get a position for engineering at the team. I contacted my senior marketing. I'm like, hey, I have a friend who is really interested in applying for an engineering role or a mechanical role on the team, and I gave her, his email and everything. I'm very open to, having people join the team because honestly, I enjoy and I love this team. They have such hard work attitude, and I just love being a part of it. Everyone is happy to be where they're at, and I'm happy to be there for the journey. Like for this Margaritaville SC, everyone was in it to try and get that to happen, and just seeing everyone be so happy about the car and like everyone wanting the die cast of it and like everything like that, like the team themselves were like saying your car is what sold this deal is pretty it's pretty humbling, and it's really it's a unique feeling because I mean, not many people are told, especially in their work environment, that they're doing great. But no, I'm told I'm doing awesome stuff almost every week. It's a really uplifting experience. I'm very happy to be where I'm at. I can't ask for anything else.
We can see
Can't
it
ask for
in your
anything else.
eyes. We can see it, hearing your voice and seeing your eyes. It's so refreshing to see that, because a lot of young folks or just people who've made it typically tend to be, And I understand that they're very verbose. They're like, yeah, I knew I got it. That's why I'm here. And we got this all swagger, but you're still the same Nick you were when we first had you on the team. You're just like, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just gonna keep doing what I'm doing. And
Don't worry. I'm not letting this change my attitude in any way. I'm still going to be the same me 20 years from now. Even if I'm in a better position, I'm still going to be the same me. I'm not going to get a ego or anything like that. I'm not going to get big. No, I'm going to remain true to myself. I love making cars look awesome on track. That's what a designer, specifically in NASCAR, really like to do. They like to make cool Dane designs on a car.
And that's what we hope you get to see from you in the years to come. And maybe in our TPF studios, whether it's in Brooklyn's location or my location here in Texas, and we will show eventually what it looks like. I can actually have a little die-cast car. I mean, I have quite a few on my desk. Maybe we'll have yours right here and I'll get to show this off on a YouTube clip or, my photos on my socials. I'm kind of like Dale Jr. with his die-cast collection. I want to have your cars, man, on in my desk here. So I hope we make that happen.
Hopefully, I with that truck, they're making a 124 and they're doing a 164.
The 164, you can count on me on that. If it's the 124, I'm not asking for Lane's autograph. I'll ask for yours.
Oh, on, you gotta get both. You gotta get Lane and
Okay.
mine.
Well, I mean, Lane, of course, but we gotta help get a brother's autograph on there, and you're a brother to us forever.
I appreciate it. It's just cool. I've been trying to get into the industry, and now that I am, oh, man, I gotta tell you, there's so much I can't say. It's nuts. But yeah, there's a lot of exciting things that'll be happening throughout the year. That's really all I am gonna say.
Well, if you ever want to give us a Weatherby bomb or a Weatherby wasp or something, I'm trying to think of a Stern bomb type of equivalent for you. You let us know because we want to get some exclusives on here. But no, jokes aside, man, it's so awesome to hear. And this is not going to be the only time we'll have you on for putting perspectives or even on the podcast itself, because I know a lot of folks who do listen. They don't just want to listen to the drivers, or believe it or not, they don't want to listen to my opinions. They actually want to hear from the folks like you who are doing what you're doing. And that's so cool that you are able to, marshal your talents. I think people forget to do that. People just think, I'm going to delineate myself into doing one thing and one thing only. And they don't realize if they try to broaden their horizons, you might just find your actual path. Because, like you said, it's a bit oversaturated in racing. There's a lot of motorsports journalists. There's a lot of PR people. There's a lot of, content creators out there. But you found your niche. So let me ask you before we wrap up the segment, what advice would you have to someone out there who's trying to make their way into racing, regardless of what they're trying to do?
So my advice would be humble, be kind, make as many connections as you possibly can. Keep those connections and don't burn any bridges. Because if you burn bridges, that can shatter a connection to something that is another potential opportunity. That is my advice.
That's really good sound advice for sure. And I think to add to that, have thick skin.
Yes, especially in this industry, you gotta
Yep.
have thick skin. Everyone's gonna try and tear down your design piece by piece. But the thing is that art is subjective. Everyone is gonna perceive it differently. People are gonna love it. They're gonna hate it. They're gonna say, okay, it's okay. You just gotta take those opinions by a grain of salt. If you see the majority and they're all complimenting it, that's all you just need to see. You just need to know the majority like it. Even if the majority doesn't like it, just know what you need to prove, need to improve next time. Speaking of that, I do know some companies don't allow that.
But you know what? You're in the right situation, the right place, and you've got the support you need to keep doing what you're doing, not just now, but for the rest of your life, I feel like. So I'm really happy about that. And I don't know if you did the generator car for last year. You didn't. Because I was going to say, Todd Gilliland said that when he went to Target with his girlfriend, well, now his wife, Marissa, he saw his diecast car and he was like, honey, look at that. That's my office. So I'm just thinking maybe when he goes on a future Target run with his wife, when she wants to get whatever she's looking for, hopefully Lionel offers the generator car in the NASCAR Authentics line. And if that's the case, we have got to bring him on the show with you. And I just want to get the live reaction of all that happening.
I'd love to have Todd on here. He's a really cool character. He's very
Yes.
down to earth and humble. He's probably one of my most favorite drivers. And also he's relatable. I
Oh,
relate
yeah.
to him pretty easily. It's why I like him so much. He's just, a relatable guy. Just fun to have in the garage, especially seeing interviews with him. He's just a fun guy. He's really good at racing. He proved that at Atlanta. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to get it done. Just man, that the rear toe link broke on him, and that's what brought him into the pits. If that didn't happen, he would probably be up there running for the win.
It wouldn't have been the three wide thriller. It would have been the four wide frenzy, I think, in Atlanta. But I'm sure Todd's going to have his fair chances to win. In fact, we're going to actually have a story with him in March. So just letting you know. And you just may see that paint scheme you made in the articles pictures, just to let you know. So
Hey,
we'll be.
I'm
Yeah, we'll be happy to showcase our friend's liveries, and if he's running that car at COTA, I'm definitely gonna I'm gonna talk about it.
I think he is running the Rudabush car at COTA.
And that one you've also designed.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna definitely quiz him about that when I see him, whether in a one-on-one or on a bullpen. I'll be like, hey, for a friend. Tell me, is that paint scheme designer guy, is he cool?
I've been talking to him about something we're working on lately. So hopefully it comes to fruition, but maybe in a few months' time you guys will see
Well, fingers crossed on that. Keep us posted, and
it.
we're gonna have to bring you back on for sure. And maybe we'll even do a paint scheme roundtable with you and Kyle and everyone else who does Blackbeard,
Oh
if he wants to come on, just
man,
saying.
I'd like to do that. I think Kyle, man, I'm friends with so many of the guys in the industry. It's ridiculous. There's Ryan Williams, Kyle Williams, there's Kyle Sykes, Landon Mills. Speaking of Landon Mills, that kid is definitely going. He's definitely gonna be going places. He did Sheldon Creed's the foundation car. It's what got second at Atlanta. And yeah, he's like a younger talent too. He's like 18 years old, I think he is. There's a lot of young talent that's making its way up, getting noticed. Yeah, I know too many people in the
It's okay.
uh,
That's good. You have a wide network. You'd rather have that than just a small little
yeah,
Rolodex in your
yeah,
office.
Definitely
tight
gotta have the
circle.
network to go places. Yes, especially in NASCAR, he got to. But yeah, I appreciate y'all having me on. This was pretty fun.
That's what we promised to have on TPF Live. And see, we didn't make one reference to a certain artist who didn't show up to the Busch Light Clash. So we've proven, folks, I actually don't laugh all the time. Oops, I just did. Oh, well. Oh, well. But we're going to have you on, Nick. Don't worry. We're going to bring you back on. And maybe, like I said, we'll do this round table with paint scheme designers. And I know a lot of you guys. I'm saying guys, I don't want to say kids because I'm twice your age, basically, but for all intents and purposes, we're all dudes. So all you guys, and even girls in design, I want to have you all on the show. And we can just nerd out, talk about paint schemes. And I think people on social media would love to hear that. So let's try to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to see if some guys are interested.
Well, hook us up and let us know, and we'll have the table ready for y'all, and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Awesome, awesome. Well, with that, folks, this was Putting Perspectives and our little sit-down chat with Nick Weatherby, and you can catch his paint schemes with Front Row Motorsports. So be sure to check those liveries out for sure. I don't think we have much clothing thoughts on this show. That's typically how we end the show. Kind of like the late Jerry Springer. He always likes to have little closing thoughts. I'm not from New York, so I don't really have a New York accent. I'm sorry for anyone from the Empire State who was offended by that. But my closing thought for the show is really, I love the momentum with NASCAR right now. This was the second week in a row that we saw ratings on the up and up. I know ratings... It's a lame duck year in some cases, although we still have the same partners coming back with a new contract. But I've got to say, thank you folks at home for watching races, not just streaming on your phones and sitting on your butts in your living rooms or wherever you are. I'm glad you're tuning in. Now, I hope you guys do show up to the racetrack because you're missing out. It's amazing. So go to your next NASCAR race, make the trip with your family, use that PTO time and maybe get to see a three-wide thriller like we had in Atlanta. Maybe we'll have something like that in Las Vegas. Maybe Phoenix is going to be Crazy Town USA. Or maybe Bristol, which is after that. Oh, God, anything could happen at Bristol. So, I mean, don't miss out, folks. We're in the 76th season of NASCAR, but it's looking really, really good. So I'm loving what I'm seeing. And when we get to the month of March, you know what that means? We have IndyCar action. We've got NHRA action. Cars Tour racing going on again. Lots of sprint car action with the World of Outlaws, High Limit Racing. So motorsports series going to be so busy. Show up to those races. Make the time with your family and friends. Have a fun time. Even treat yourself, even if you don't have any family and friends around. Just go to your track. Support it. Enjoy it. Make a memory. And you just never know. That's my closing thought. Now, what about you, Brooklyn? Do you have any closing thoughts you want to share to the fans?
I am just thankful to, like, you have had two good races under our belt. I'm just thankful to be involved in TPF and the NASCAR world.
You hear to that, and TPF is going to be cray-cray, to say the least, in this coming month. I don't want to spoil any particular developments that are going on, although I will just say I'm crossing my fingers going into the new month. Let's just say things may be coming together finally. I mean, it's already, we've got a great team, but I'm just saying we've got some interesting things coming our way possibly. So that's all I'm going to say on that. But other than that, like I said, well, actually, I can make this announcement. This is no surprise. So later this week or early next week, I will be doing my first diecast review courtesy of Lionel Racing, because I'll be doing periodic reviews of their offerings. So as you know, folks, they're pretty much revamping the Lionel Racing Elite line. Now, that Elite line, as you know, folks, that's going to be the Elite Premier Edition series of diecast cars, which if you were to literally increase the size of that diecast car by 24 times, I'm pretty sure it could probably pass NASCAR inspection. Probably. I'm just saying. But the details on that, those babies are amazing. They look like the real thing. Not that they never do, but I'm looking forward to reviewing those, but I'll also review a standard ARC, which even then, that's a pretty awesome looking diecast car to have in your collection. So I can't wait to do that. And I will promise to be not boring with my reviews. I'm not going to be like, oh, look, so this is the box. Okay, this is the box. And then the front, it says Hendrick Cars on the hood. It's blue. Oh, and there's number 5 on the side. I've seen you YouTubers. Come on, do better than that. So I'm gonna have a lot of fun doing those diecast reviews with Lionel, and can't wait. And then well, I don't want to make the announcement just yet, but the joke I'm gonna make is Rob Tiongson fashion model. That's all I'm gonna say. I never thought I'd be doing such, but you will see me posing. Not that I'm going to Paris, so I don't mean Paris, Texas. I know I just had a Texas twang come out. That was weird. I don't know. I'm from Boston, and I'm starting to talk like a Texan. So
It's about
I'm a little.
like me when I start telling a story, then I really do have like a my like thick southern accent comes out when I start telling a story or like talking fast.
Right. I just noticed I'm saying certain words with a Texas twang. I don't say that could be a sh like a show. I'm like show. It's a show. Show. So I'm like, oh no, I'm becoming one of all. You got one of y'alls. Oh man, I'm losing my Northeast roots. This is bad. But anyways, Lionel Racing's gonna be our friend. You better support them, folks. And also too, I'm gonna be a fashion model. That's all I'm gonna say. But you'll see in the next coming days and weeks of what I'm talking about. But before I make a fool of myself again, let's go and put a bow in our show because I'm having a lot of fun. So for Brooklyn Jackson and Nick Weatherby, I am Rob Tiongson saying thanks so much for tuning in to episode 106 of TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. You can catch our previous 105 episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for next week, episode 107, that will be the post Las Vegas pre-Phoenix edition. And yes, folks, I will remind you to go and put your clocks forward an hour because we're going to go back to daylight savings time. Woo woo! Can't wait for that. Yes, I did get excited about this. Lord bless it. But until then, folks, as I always like to say, let's go get that checkered flag. And until next time, everyone, so long, everybody.